Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Along with producer Rosemary Brandt, we welcome you to The Buckmaster Show on this Monday, January 28th, 2014. Hope you're having a great day after a wonderful weekend. Coming up at 12:30 today, we'll talk with the TUSD Superintendent H.T. Sanchez. It's about his six-month anniversary on the job, heading up the second-largest school district in the state of Arizona. But first, we'll get things rolling with our Monday political face-off featuring one of our two teams of commentators. This week, it's Bruce Ash, Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom, former state and local chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday political face-off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And of course, we welcome our listeners to call in on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 and also join us on Facebook and become one of our friends of the show. Paul and Bruce, how are you gentlemen doing?
Great. I'm recovering from that nasty flu.
Yeah, you were down for a couple of weeks with that.
Yep. It was not pleasant.
Wow.
Get your flu shot next year.
Yeah,
that's what I'm
asking. And you didn't get one this year, mm-hmm. but last year you did, and you didn't. Did you still get the flu?
Yeah, but it wasn't near as severe.
And Mr. Ash, you had a very busy weekend. You were back in Washington for the Republican National Committee meeting, the RNC meeting, and then you came back to Arizona for a meeting up in Phoenix, the state Republican Party meeting.
Well, the most important thing I did over the weekend was go to the Arizona basketball game last night and watched our 20-0, number one ranked in the country, Arizona Wildcats. This is 38 weeks, and actually 39 weeks come today, that they're ranked number one in the history of the club. They now just surpass Ohio State in the history of the NCAA as having led the nation for weeks in a row.
Wow. Ohio State had that record, huh?
Well, we're number seven. They're now number eight.
Okay,
in all time history.
Wow, that is really amazing.
That's pretty cool. These are great players.
Yeah, but, and even when we don't shoot well, our defense and our rebounding seems to carry us, and that's what's that travels well too.
You know, a lot of people are saying we really do need, if there is such a thing, need a loss before the tournament.
I don't believe that.
Gentlemen?
No,
theories?
I don't believe that.
No.
I want to be undefeated all the way, just like Indiana in 1976.
And UCLA, sure.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yep. Run the table. Anyway, some news coming out, actually news out of the National Republican meeting, Bruce, and of course out of the Phoenix meeting. The Arizona Republican Party formally censured Senator John McCain on Saturday, citing a voting record that they say is insufficiently conservative. This went all over the country, national news. I mean, how does that make our party, the Republican Party, look?
Well,
our state.
Look, I don't think that was the biggest news of the week for the Republican Party. I think the biggest news of the week for the Republican Party were the very, very sweeping and historic rule changes that we made last week.
And we'll get to those
at the RNC.
Yeah.
This is a sideshow. And, you know, look, there are plenty of times when I want to throw my shoe at the TV set when I'm watching something going on, not just with Senator McCain, but lots of other people who are elected officials. John McCain and I have agreed on far more than you can possibly imagine as opposed to what we disagree on. Yeah, I get frustrated sometimes, and yeah, I wonder, gee, what was he thinking when he said that? You know, our job as Republicans, you know, certainly we can be critical of our elected officials. Our job as PCs, precinct committee people, party workers, is to go out and beat the other side up and win elections for our guys and not put our guys in a bad situation. And I think it's a fair thing to be very critical, and certainly that debate is an honest one. But gosh, when we are running our own people down as opposed to paying attention to what's going on the other side, that's just not very smart politics, I don't think.
And Paul, Fred Duvall, a Democrat who plans to and is running for Arizona governor, called the censure and outrageous response to the good work Senator McCain did crafting a reasonable solution to fix our broken immigration system.
Yeah, we've had this kind of running theme for the last few years about how the Republicans on the right of their party, the far right, seem to be devouring anybody who disagrees with them in the slightest. And that's the case with John McCain. I don't view John McCain as a moderate. I view him as a reasonable thinking conservative who at times will strike bipartisan deals, which I think is what is needed in our governance. And to be criticized for what he has done in the past, especially in things like immigration, it makes no sense as a party, just like Bruce was saying. And I, as a Democrat sitting back watching it, say, well, keep doing it because that's the way you're going to lose elections. You're going to force the more moderate or even just the reasonable conservatives out of the party. And then you're going to be stuck in the far, far right ideologically. And that's not where the American public and American politics always is. Whoever owns the center wins elections. And I think this is just another example of the far right doing major damage to the Republican Party. It makes no sense. This was the nominee of the party in 2008. And for them to do this in Arizona to who I think is a great American and a great – I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but he's somebody who's always worked across party lines as well. And, him and Mo Udall, for example, were great friends, and they did things together. When he first hit Congress, Mo took him under his wing, and they worked on things together. That's the way it should work. And John McCain has tried to carry that forward, and he's getting too much – this is just – frankly, I agree with Fred Duvall. Mm. Outrageous.
Well, let me speak, number one, to Fred Duvall's statement. Fred Duvall had the easiest comment that could possibly be made in the state over the weekend because that makes him look magnanimous. Good for you, Fred. That's nice. But more importantly, and this is where Paul's political party has some severe problems. The left in his party is stifling discussion. The left in his party clears the path for people like Fred Duvall, like Terry Goddard, and others on a statewide basis and also in legislative races to have no opposition. They want to clear the way. They don't want to have any kind of serious debate. The left in their party wants there to be a candidate who speaks for the left, and in fact, even on a national basis, the progressives, so-called progressives, they're really just a retread branding for leftists, but they've renamed themselves as progressives. They want to go far further than even Barack Obama wants to go, and Hillary Clinton is far from being ordained as the Democrats' next nominee. There is going to be a serious challenge from the left.
I disagree with that. I mean, one, I'll just say this straight off. Fred Duvall is not a leftist. He is about as centrist as you come.
He's an insider.
He had worked for years for Governor Bruce Babbitt, who was a centrist governor in the state. And, Terry Goddard declaring him some sort of leftist is just ridiculous. I mean,
well, the
really,
leftists and, in the party and, have and anointed let, them. They don't want anybody running
very,
against them.
Let's make it very clear. I don't think the Democratic Party is near as far left as it
Your state party
used to
chairman
be.
Is one of the most not. Leftist individuals that has run the state party in years.
Well, who is that? Bruce, just call it labeling somebody leftist doesn't make them so. That doesn't
tell me one.
Look at what they talk about. Tell me all the moderate,
middle of the road groups that your guy has been in charge of, and then compare with all of the left wing groups that he's been associated with, and all of the left wing contributions he gives to those causes. Well, the next time we're together, I'll bring all of them for us so we can review them together.
Sure. But you were the one that was calling Fred Duvall and Terry Goddard leftists,
no,
and that's just not true.
They're a tool of the leftists who have cleared the path for them.
Hillary Clinton is not either. Bill Clinton was a very moderate, actually,
they're
maybe
a
right
tool
of center president.
Of the leftists in your party who have cleared the way for them.
Okay. Want to move on to the other news coming from the Republicans. And Bruce, you are part of this because you're the chairman of the Rules Committee. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Of the Republican National Committee. And they decided, the leadership of the Republican Party, to shorten the nominating period. Is that accurate?
Well, there are several parts of this that come into play. Yeah, there will be compression in the primary schedule. What we've done is we've incentivized states from jumping the schedule and in the calendar and impact in the four carve-out states. We have taken a longer period of time, slowed down the process so that there's no early national primary, so we can properly vet a good candidate, and so that any viable candidate who comes along who can capture the imagination of Republican voters, and there'll be a lot of Republican voters who have a chance to vote in this upcoming primary cycle, there'll be a better chance for us to find a great nominee. On the tail end of this, we've lengthened the certification period prior to a convention, and we've announced that we probably will have a convention that starts as early as June 27th, or could start as early as about July 3rd, I think, as well. But in any event, nearly 2 months prior to the date that we've been for the last several years. This is because of a very important FEC regulation that says you can't spend general election dollars if you're involved in the presidential race until there's actually been a nomination. Mitt Romney was brutalized for nearly 2 months by the other side because he wasn't the nominee until September 1st.
Mm-hmm. Let's take the break right here on the Monday Political Face-Off. When we come back, Paul will react to this. Paul Eckerstrom and Bruce Ash with us, our team of commentators on the Monday Political Face-Off. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now!
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready!
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support!
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business!
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold, and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion, and actually every portion of our Monday Political Face-Off, is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and moesgallery.com. And of course, they're on Facebook. Check them out for all your framing needs. We thank Mo and his family for supporting the Buckmaster Show. And before we talk a little bit about shortening the presidential nominating season, there's the question from a caller during the break. Paul Eckerstrom, is it accurate when people refer to the Democrats as the, quote, government party?
Well, I haven't quite heard it put that way before, but, you know, if you're referring to the Democrats being supportive of public education, of building infrastructure in this country like highways, bridges, things like that that we need to support our economy, giving people a fair shake in life in terms of getting a decent education. I guess you could call the Democrats the government party because government's the vehicle by which you do those things. If for example, though, you are talking about spending billions and billions of dollars on weapon systems we don't need anymore and the national defense system, not that we don't need that, then, you know, you could just as easily call the Republicans the government party because that's where a lot of our government dollars go as well. So it's like, and they're very supportive of that. So I think that's kind of a cheap shot towards the Democrats.
Bruce, would you like to weigh in or just?
Because it's really too easy. It's like T-ball.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Democrat Party is the more government party, less liberty, more regulations, higher taxes, less liberty, less choices, less privacy. I mean, all of the above.
We get the idea.
Okay.
And, Paul, getting back to shortening the presidential nominating season, you think that's they're onto something here, the Republicans?
Yeah. You know, we were discussing off the air that back in the old days, we used to have our conventions back in both Democrat and Republicans back in May or June. So there was a longer general election cycle where people could choose between their candidates. Bruce is right. The FEC regulations do drive this. I mean, Democrat nominees in the past have faced similar problems that the Republicans have in the last couple cycles. Where they can't access their general election money until there's a nomination that takes place. So I think, frankly, that's a good thing. I think we should be narrowing down quicker to the two candidates and have have them have at it for a longer period of time until November so that people can make a proper choice. And the other thing is, I think Bruce is right that, you know, too many of these debates kind of clutter and don't necessarily give the best information to the voters in each of the primaries. And I think it's important that there be debates between the primary candidates, but not like 20, 30 of them during the process. You know, I think people start tuning them out and don't really pay attention. And two, that is not really, I think, the best way for it's a vehicle by which voters get their information about the different candidates, but it's not the only way, and and that's what it's kind of becoming. And I agree with Bruce that the Democrats should follow suit in what the Republicans have been doing.
Bruce, what about the national convention? Phoenix is on the short list along with Las Vegas. Some of your thoughts. Does Phoenix look like they've got a pretty good shot?
Phoenix has an excellent opportunity. It is a desirable location favored by many of the members of the RNC. We're actually going to make this decision this summer. The convention selection site committee has been voted on and named, and will start their work shortly going all over the country. Columbus, Ohio, Denver, Colorado, Kansas City, Missouri, as well as Phoenix and Las Vegas are in the running. And you know, we've seen a lot of interest by the delegates to be in Phoenix. We prefer heat over hurricanes, I guess is the final answer there.
What do you think about where they hold the convention? Is it that big a deal anymore, Paul?
Well, economically, it would be a big boom to Arizona and Phoenix, Phoenix specifically, if Phoenix got either of the conventions. The heat is the big issue, I would think, with most people deciding on picking a place like that. And I, you know, Arizona's starting to get into play though as a state that may be competitive in a presidential national election in the next number of years as demographics change in the state. And it would make sense for either party to have its convention here because of that. I know one of the reasons I think that Barack Obama won Colorado was in 2008 is he had the convention in Denver, mainly because I think everybody saw Colorado as one of those swing states. And Arizona's moving into that column. I don't know if by this next election, presidential election cycle will be there yet demographically. But certainly I think the following one after that, 8 years from now, it might very well be.
The other thing, Bill, if I can go back to the rules for a second. Mm-hmm. The rules changes really have given power back to Republican voters in this upcoming primary. And it's given ownership of the Republican Party back to the Republican Party. Too oftentimes, what ends up happening in presidential campaigns is that the presidential campaigns dictate to the party what their rules will be. And that's what happened in 2012, even though Mitt Romney, you know, thought that he would be elected president, way, way too much top-down being ordained. That is also a factor within the Democrat Party as well. That is a very top-down party. Even the fact that, for example, their Rules Committee Chairman, James Roosevelt, is not elected like I am by the members of the committee. He is appointed, as are every single member of that committee. These are critical positions that decide the hierarchy of national parties. And of course, I belong to a party that may be considered to be more populist than the Democrat Party. But I think in this particular case, it's an important thing. And as a friend of mine from Pennsylvania, who's a state party chairman there, said, you know, I think we're finally getting back control of our party and have a much better chance in this upcoming election as a result.
You know, this is just from a political scientist point of view. What Bruce says is good, and I've always supported more democracy within the party structures. The Republicans have always been kind of top down, and the Democrats for a while were very had moved away from that in the 70s under the rules that George McGovern implemented. And frankly, it can be very disjointed sometimes politically, and you don't necessarily get the best nominees or candidates sometimes out of that. So, you know, I would caution Bruce for going totally on the the little d Democratic side of how you pick your nominee. There's a balance you have to strike, because the leadership folks in the party are important too. And I lived a generation where Democrats were kind of in purgatory politically for a long time, specifically because of, I think, of some of those rule changes that took place in the 70s. And so it would be interesting to see how all this plays out, but there is some cautionary tales there.
Fully one-third of the members of the Democrat National Committee are not even elected from the states. They belong to every single special interest group, from the Democrat Mayor's Association to the Democrat Governor's Association, all kinds of special interest groups. There is no way that you're going to get a representative view of who the party's next nominee is from the Democrat National Committee.
I would disagree with that. It's not special interest groups. It's elected officials. And let me tell you something. That we've struck a good balance. We've had some really good nominees in the past number of election cycles.
Paul Eckerstrom, Bruce Ash, thank you both very much. I hope you have a great week, both of you. Thanks.
Thanks much.
Thanks.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The UA College of Science presents this year's lecture series, The Evolving Brain, Monday evening starting January 27th through March 10th at UA Centennial Hall. Lectures are free and open to all. Now in its 9th year, the UA Science Lecture Series, with its distinguished speakers, gives opportunity to discover astonishing new insights about the evolution of the highly complex human brain. More at cos.arizona.edu. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of Metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business, it's not personal, it's just business.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:36. This portion of the program is presented by our friends at Moncada Construction. It's a family-owned and operated, licensed and bonded business. If you need any kind of interior restoration, painting, carpentry, you name it, Chris Moncada and his team can take care of you. And give them a call. Here's the number, 520-390-2247, or on the web at Moncada, that's M-O-N-C-A-D-A construction.com. And Chris wanted me to let you all know that, yes, they welcome credit cards. 12:36 on the Buckmaster Show. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show the superintendent of the TUSD school board. He is Mr. H.T. Sanchez. Dr. Sanchez, how are you?
Doing well, sir. Doing well. And don't think I want to take Ms. Grijalva's job.
No. I'm sorry. I know. Yes, yeah, you're not the head of the governing board. You are the superintendent of the second largest school district in the state of Arizona. I misspoke there, TUSD. Welcome again to the show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity to visit.
Tell me a little bit about what this major strategic plan. I can't recall TUSD having put together kind of a strategic plan.
Well, one of the big pieces in a district our size that we really need to focus on and move forward is to have a five-year strategic plan in the areas of finance, facilities, curriculum and instruction, communication and diversity, and really in partnership with the community lay out what are those five-year goals, what do we want to be in 5 years, so that from where we are today, we can measure the steps we need to take annually to get to that point.
Well, TUSD's also been asking for parent feedback, right, on the educational programming?
Yes, sir. That's been one of the big pieces. I've taken as many opportunities as I can to go out into the community and ask parents their perceptions and perspectives on what's going on. Recently, I was at a meeting in which we had parent representatives. It was this last Wednesday from every one of our schools in the district. We met at Monzo, and it gave me a chance to visit with parents and then to answer their questions. And I stayed after and visited with parents that had individual questions specific to their sites.
Talk a little bit about this dissatisfaction, the survey that came out from Tucson Values Teachers. The survey was conducted by that organization that works to attract and retain quality teachers, and basically only one in three area teachers, Superintendent Sanchez, reported that they're satisfied with their jobs.
You know, in taking a look at that information, it was from all Southern Arizona, and what it tells us is a few important things. The first thing it tells us is the whole dialogue about teaching in general. If you think about that, and it's Southern Arizona, but if you look at the national trend, the conversation has been about schools are failing and schools are struggling and we need to reform our K-12 system. And when you think about going to work every day and that clouds over your head, it really makes going to work, even though your heart's in it for the kids, and I believe that that's our teachers, their hearts are in it for the kids and they're in there for the right reason because, you know, our salary in Arizona isn't what it is in other states. We're on the bottom end of that, not the top end and not even in the middle. So you take salary, you take the professional feel, and then you take the rhetoric out there that schools are not being successful. But yet, if you talk to parents that have their kids at schools, they'll tell you they have a great teacher and they have good schools. So it's a matter of balancing that out, and it's something that with our strategic planning, teachers will be part of the conversation. They'll be there and they'll be present and they'll be visiting and providing their perspective at the table with business leaders, elected officials, and others.
How do you feel the morale is with the teachers? And I know you speak with a lot of them.
You know, I meet with a group of teachers once a month. I ask the campuses to identify a person from each campus, and so I meet with them once a month. And so I've had my second meeting with a group of teachers. We started this at the end of last year, and so we just met for our January meeting. And teachers have come forward, these teacher representatives, and said that they're appreciative of having a voice at the table and they're appreciative of being heard out. And my commitment to them is we have to take their perspective and we have to move with it. I do get email from our teachers since I write a weekly newsletter that I send out to all our team members, and teachers will send me information back, very appreciative of knowing what's going on. And there's an atmosphere of hope. And we have to do right by them. It can't be this atmosphere of hope and then a big letdown. So we have a lot of hard work. There's a lot of expectations out there, and we have to take care of our kids, and we have to take care of the people who take care of our kids, our teachers and our administrators.
Where are we on the deseg suit, the desegregation mandate, which has been in effect in TUSD since 1978, I believe?
Yes, sir. It originally goes back to 74. The reason I remember that is the DSEG court case and I are around the same age.
Oh, boy.
So,
yeah, it's been a while, huh?
It has. Where we sit right now with the DSEG court order is we've taken the unitary status plan, which was agreed to by my predecessor and by the governing board, in terms of its broad language, and we began to interpret that language and put into places things that, in showing good faith effort, are in compliance with it. Where we've had some disagreements have been with the Magnet Plan, with Carrillo and Davis and Pueblo and Tucson High. I just can't see taking away funding and support from schools that serve high minority populations, the original populations that were in the court order that needed support, taking that Magnet title and taking that funding and shifting it somewhere else. You know, as long as I'm here, I would do everything I can to keep that there. But the Magnet status and the Magnet label has sustained those schools despite superintendents and boards and whatever their intents are. So to move that away from those campuses isn't good. So we continue to work on that with the special master and plaintiffs. And of course, we did receive a court order with University High School that, despite spending 6 months doing everything the USP said, the special master made his recommendation to the court. The court basically said, do what the special master is requiring. And we asked to be heard. And the federal judge stated that we didn't have a right to be heard in federal court. So we're looking at an appeal to the Ninth Circuit, just asking that we have the right to appeal. We have the right to present our side of the story. Right now, we're being told that the special master is the be all and end all in the conversation.
One of our listeners wanted me to ask you a question to clarify remarks that you made last fall on another show here on KVOI, the weekly show that Robin Heller does, The State of Education. The comment had to do with how we value education, and you stated that the continuing challenge that we have in the Southwest is how do we convince people who have disposable income to educate children who don't necessarily look like their own kids.
Sure. You know, what I would encourage the listener to do is to Google Bing or Yahoo, the Arizona We Want 2.0 study commissioned out of the Arizona State University, and go to page 4. And on page 4, there's a bar graph in the middle of page 4, fold it in half, and look at the demographics and ethnicity of kids in school, and then take a look at the demographics and ethnicity of those that are in the workplace. And that entire document will provide a lot of clarity to that, as well as a quick snapshot review of the governor's proposed budget that lowers the per pupil allotments in districts in all of Arizona should this budget be approved, and formalizes $262 million of cuts to education. So those two pieces of information are my basis.
This is a tough budget, isn't it, for this? The governor's budget is a tough budget for public education. Would you agree with that?
I'd agree with it and expand on that, because the money that would be put back into public education is to buy a more expensive state test and to pay for a statewide pay-for-performance system that, to this point, unless you pay for the more expensive state test, you can't get the pay-for-performance system in place. And so if money is going to go into education, it's not going into the classroom. It's going into these two areas. And again, that's a review of the budget. And you can take a look at any of the teacher organization bargaining units' review of it, and you'll find that that's their assessment too.
Is public education at a crossroads in this country?
You know, there's a whole lot of conversation about public education in the sense of we need to reform it. But if you take a look at America as a whole, I think America has evolved to a better place, and it builds upon the successes of the past. It doesn't abandon things and say, well, we're just going to get rid of, you know, the Bill of Rights altogether and start over. It says, how do we better understand the Bill of Rights in the context of today? In education, I think what's differentiated us from the rest of the civilized world is that we educate everybody. And when we talk about comparing American students to students in other nations, we're comparing all of our kids to their best kids, and we don't make the distinction or differentiation. So we are at a crossroads, but I think we need to talk more about the evolution of education in America and less about it's time to reform it.
H.T. Sanchez is with us on The Buckmaster Show. We're now pushing toward 12:46 on this Monday edition. We're going to take a break right here and hear from the fine organizations and people who believe in the work we do here. We'll be right back.
This is exactly how you found him. Mr. Arp, would you mind if Dr. Watson has a look at him?
Not at all.
Thank you.
One of the lumbar vertebrae, the third vertebrae.
Thank you. Simple as ABC, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not all things are as easy as ABC, but there are many ailments that can be treated with chiropractic care. Hi, this is Dr. Watson with Chiropractic USA. Did you know that chiropractic care can help with migraine headaches and high blood pressure? With natural chiropractic care, we go to the root cause of your headaches and high blood pressure without the side effects of other costly treatments. At Chiropractic USA, we can also help with dizziness and equilibrium problems, because 85% of the nerves that help us adapt to our environment are behind your neck at the base of the skull. If you want a natural alternative to your health challenges, call Chiropractic USA for an appointment at 818-7788. In most cases, referrals are not needed unless you're a VA veteran. Chiropractic USA, for the well-adjusted life. 818-7788.
The important message you're about to hear is brought to you by Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona.
Is your water hard to live with? Are you tired of water that tastes bad and smells bad too? Do you have hard water buildup on your shower walls, tile, and faucets? Are you tired of dry skin and dull hair? Are you tired of dingy laundry? What about premature replacing of faucets, fixtures, dishwashers, and water heaters? Well, it's time to do something about it, and Culligan Water of Tucson has a solution. A high-efficiency water softener that can eliminate these problems for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental with an annual service agreement. It's easy. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700 for complete details on this introductory offer. This is a limited-time offer, so call us today and start enjoying all the benefits and the savings of a Culligan high-efficiency water softener now. Remember, 792-9700, or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. I strongly urge you, take a quick trip. It is quick. It's three and a half hours east of Tucson over to Silver City, and they are preparing for one of their big signature events. If you like chocolate, and who doesn't, right? Especially in February. February 8th, Saturday, that's the Chocolate Fantasia event in Silver City. There will be 20 people who make chocolate, chocolatiers, I guess they are. They'll be all showing and displaying their chocolates, and of course you'll be able to sample them Saturday, February 8th in Silver City. And again, you can find out more on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org, and also check out the great places to stay, like Gila Hot Springs Ranch. Dr. H.T. Sanchez is superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District Board. I keep wanting to say governing board, and of course that is Ms. Grijalva, who has been on the program earlier. I don't know why I'm kind of stuck on that. Of course, you are the superintendent of the district. Anyway, let's go now to Joe, is up first with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Go ahead, Joe. You're with Superintendent Sanchez.
Hey, it sure is nice to be here. Appreciate you guys being here as well.
Thank you.
And,
yes, sir.
You know, I just wanted to say that you mentioned before that it was kind of mentioning the evolution of it. I think one of the main parts of this and the most problematic things for that gets played out in your classrooms every single day is the de-evolution. I just saw a statistic that the family's purchasing power of today is that of 1988.
Hmm.
Now,
wow.
The problem with that is that I just learned on KVOI, they have a good real estate program on Saturday, and the average median cost of a house is $167,000 in this town. And these economic, it's tough to make it in this town, and we see so many distortions and unaddressed dislocations that are happening, and I can't even believe how freaked out these numbers are. But where it gets tough is when you try to teach to these children who are putting up with these conditions. How do you feel about what I just said?
Well, what you talked about is some of the challenge that our teachers and principals face on a day in and day out basis. You know, we have right around a 40% mobility rate, and a lot of that's driven by the cost of housing, the cost of apartments, and you know, you'll have a student that'll live 6 months in one place, and then when the lease is up, if there's a better rate, they'll move to another place. And so the challenge that we face is how do we ensure that every school a student goes to is a quality school, so that if they go from one school to another, they're getting the same level of quality, that they're not lockstep from one campus to another, but they're covering similar concepts. And some of that's through the state required curriculum, and how do we do a better job in that? How do we create better student-to-teacher numbers in campuses so that one campus isn't overloaded with students and classes and another isn't? So that is a reality here in Tucson, but I'll say it's a reality in any urban environment where you have high mobility, and our job is quality everywhere, and we have to get our folks together and get them on the same page in ensuring that every classroom a child walks into is a quality classroom, and we have to work through and control those things that are specific to us and within our purview.
All right, let's go now to Jim is up next on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you, Bill, and it's good to have you again on the show, HT.
Thank you.
Listen, my question has to do with the Harvard study that said income and ethnicity have less to do with student achievement than a two-parent household. My question is practical and ethical. Practical: can a school district replace a missing parent? And the ethical question is, should a school district replace a missing parent?
You know, I'm going to answer that question as a parent, and then I'll answer it as a superintendent. As a parent, I wouldn't want anybody to replace my wife or to replace me. I think we're the ones that God chose to rear our daughter and our son and to provide them with that stability, and I don't think there was an accident in that, and that's my personal belief. As a superintendent, our role is to make sure that students get a quality education and that we open doors for those students so that they can see opportunities for them. But you know, the school district, as much as we love all of our kids, as much as our teachers take care of them and our administrators want to make sure that they're safe, we'll never replace the parents. And I don't think that that's our role. Our job is to encourage them, to cheer them on, to uplift them. But ultimately, our job is to educate them and open those doors for them.
Now, getting back to the strategic plan, the date for that will be the end of February. Is that what you're planning?
Yes, sir. On February 25th, we'll be at the Tucson Electric Power Conference Center, and they've been so kind as to let us use that facility. We're going to have nationally known speakers in the areas I had mentioned before, in finance, facilities, curriculum, instruction, communication, and diversity, who will come in and who will share information regarding what is the epitome of excellence in each of those areas, and give a broad-based group of business leaders, parents, educators, students, elected officials, and you know, community volunteers, give them a chance to talk about what they aspire for TUSD in those five areas. I think that our job is to be responsive to the community, but we have to have that well-informed conversation. And I mean, the basis, of course, currently we're running our curriculum audit and efficiency audit because I want a unbiased, real-time, factual understanding of where we are. Because if we have those goals and aspirations by the community in those five areas and we're not realistic with where we are, we'll never make ground. So those two things go together.
And how can folks get more of information about the event on the 25th of February?
Yes, sir. Kara Renee is our director of information.
And she is a very good one, I will say that as well.
She is. She's excellent. She might hit me, though, for putting this out on her, but we'll have information on our website.
And on Facebook?
On Facebook, okay. And everywhere else, yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much, H.T. Sanchez, superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District. Tell me again about when the audit information would be available.
Sure.
Has there been a decision yet on when that's going to be released?
You know, I will say that the auditing firm on the efficiency side is projecting around May, and I've asked for that audit to be given in open session to the governing board. And at the end of the week, the curriculum auditors will let me know when they're going to provide their final assessment. They did debrief me on the way out, and so I have some understanding of the scope of what they're going to cover, and it's going to tell us some things that we suspected, and it's going to give us some information and some direction and suggestions, and it's going to be our job to work together to make the tough decisions and the hard choices and turn resources back to classrooms and students, and that's most important.
But you're going to have like a report card, which is good.
It'll be very – we'll get an executive summary in the full comprehensive piece. Yes, sir.
H.T. Sanchez, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by our friends at Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Thank you, Culligan. All of our in-studio guests, enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. We appreciate their support. Coming up tomorrow morning, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. That program 6 to 8 right here on KVOI. Then a new show, a new local talk show, The Daily Double with Christy Simone. That's on from 8 to 9. And then we'll be back with you here on The Buckmaster Show, 12:04 tomorrow afternoon. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brandt, we thank you very much for joining us. Back with you tomorrow.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.